The opinions expressed on the following audio program are solely those of the host and the guests. Burner Podcast is an independently produced, not-for-profit show and is not associated with the Burning Man organization or its subsidiaries. The views expressed are not representative of the entire Burning Man community and are presented here for entertainment purposes only. In short, calm the fuck down. It's just a podcast.
All right, episode number 42, and it is only 22 days till the man burns as of this recording. Man, packing this year has been like super stress-free for me, and I know myself better than I did the year before, and I was just thinking about how I have the community to thank for that. I was taking inventory, as I often do, of the many gifts that this culture has given me since I discovered it. And I was noticing that one of them was just this experience of knowing how to pack. And it's not like a big deal, but it's just one thing to know how to pack for yourself, like when you're just going on a weekend trip to Vegas or some shit. But it's a whole different thing to know how to pack for yourself when you're preparing for a hostile desert environment for a week and a half. And like, you can't just throw money at the problem whenever something comes your way. Then the problems are things that you would never expect. You have to know yourself. You have to know what your needs are, know what your limitations are. And I think back to my first burn and how hilariously overpacked, yet supremely ill-prepared I was. And I feel incredibly grateful yet again and again and again for all the amazing gifts this community has given me. But hey, let's get into today's episode. It's our last show before we all head out to the burn next week. And we thought it would be a great opportunity to fan the flames of your excitement or your FOMO. I guess it depends on whether or not you're going to the burn this year. By having a show where we share some exciting stuff you might want to discover on Playa. So I gathered the Burner Podcast staff and asked them to be ready to respond to the following four prompts. One, an interesting camp to find and explore. Two, an art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend. Three, a dance floor to shake your booty at, or a bar to slam drinks at. And four, a survival tip from your own personal experience. I mean, I didn't really gather them. I sent an email and then they came. But anyway, listen, I'm under no delusion that you're going to like actually take notes and go find these things on Playa. In fact, I advise you not to, because fuck planning, fuck your burn. I just thought it would be pretty cool for you to be stumbling around at 3 a.m. on Wednesday night and accidentally happen upon an art piece, stare at it with glossy-eyed confusion and exclaim, nay, shout, oh, fuck, I remember they talked about this on that stupid Burner Podcast shit I was listening to on my 12-hour drive. So if that happens, our mission here is complete. So let's get into today's show, featuring the voices and ramblings of our staff. The meat of the show is going to be two roundtable segments. Each of them is going to be around 40 minutes or so with the majority of our staff. In addition to that, we're going to have a couple of surprise appearances from team members who don't live in the Southern California area, whom we ask to send in their recommendations. So this was a super fun show to record. You're going to get to meet the entire Burner Podcast staff. You're going to get to know what their personalities are like and some stuff that we're going to recommend, some stuff to get you excited about this year's burn. Anyway, let's just get into it. Today's episode is the Burning Man 2016 Pre-Playa Planner. Though we are using the word planner very, very loosely. I go by Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. Welcome to Burner Podcast.
Thank you.
exhausted. This is take 4 of this segment. Do you realize that? Yeah. Because if we count the last one. This is take 4 altogether. Because if you remember, we first started recording sitting in my patio. And then the plane started to fly overhead. We're like, all right, that's not going to work. Take 2 we recorded, and it was going to be released literally tonight. And then that can't go out because for some reason it sounds like somebody had aimed a fan at the recorder, at the mics. And then...
See, that's just weird.
Yeah, no, that has never happened before. Literally, that has never happened before. I have no idea how that happened. Take 3 we just tried to do right now, and I think my brain shut down a little bit when the phone rang. So now this is take 4. This is take 4 with executive producer Meg and special projects manager Paul. And in the original recording, we had our art director Romero in here, and we had this wonderful running gag of us turning to him and asking him what input does he have on this, and he had nothing. And it was really funny. And that running gag followed itself through the second segment of this podcast that the listeners are listening to. But I don't know if that joke will make any sense now. It'll just be...
We can just still do it. We can just be like, what about you, Romero?
And then Romero will be like, I don't know.
Or no, he's not even in here.
He's not even in here. So
just crickets.
Like,
can you insert cricket noise?
I'll find a cricket noise on my phone.
I will talk to executive.
Engineer.
I'm the only executive here.
So that sound, I was just hearing it right now. That was the sound. It was when the mic vibrates, it makes that sound. Yeah, so listeners, we're doing you a favor. In the original version of this recording that we're re-recording, basically. We had to re-record this whole segment because in the original version, that vibration that you just heard, it pretty much sounded like that for a half an hour. And, you know, we don't hate you. So, anyway, let me just set the
scene. That one guy.
Except for that one guy, yeah.
That guy?
Fuck that guy. But let me just set the stage for you guys here. This episode is supposed to go out, 3 hours ago.
What is it, 8:30? Yeah.
Yeah. A few hours ago. And I am sitting here with Paul and Meg. We are at Colab, which is, you know, Burner Project Building Central in San Diego. And the reason we're here is because we were working on Camino X Zero, which is the project that we're taking out to Burning Man for 2016. But we have to take time off from that in order to re-record this segment because the last one was unusable.
It's because I'm not going to Playa.
This must be it. It's just cursed.
It's cursed that because I am not going, I will not be there to executive produce your burn. It's going to go straight to hell.
This is totally, totally normal, by the way. Makes a lot of sense that we have 25 different things go wrong with everything we're working on because that's how Burning Man works.
Well, okay.
Yeah, you're going to
disagree
with that. Yes
and no.
Things go according to plan? Please.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes things go according to plan. Sometimes the plan is that there was no plan, and so it doesn't make any damn difference how it goes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's serendipity.
Yeah. If we want to destroy Rush and lungs.
I mean, I've already done enough damage to my lungs. Yeah, one of the other ideas, listeners, was that we could go record in executive producer Meg's van.
Because Arash now has a gigantic bug up his ass about background noise.
I'm down for that, but only if we go park the van by the river.
Oh, and then
we can do our recordings in a van down by the river.
And get eaten alive by mosquitoes and Zika virus the entire time the two of
us. And let's take that to Burning Man. Zika virus at Burning Man.
We are going to record this fucking segment, come hell or high water. This segment from hell that refuses to be recorded.
What the fuck is even happening with this?
I don't know why the segment is doing the thing that it's doing. But okay, we're here with Meg and Paul and listeners. Just a heads up, there's that running joke with Romero. So in the next segment, when you hear that running joke, you'll understand that there was a setup for that in this segment. And it looks like now it won't make any sense. But that's okay. We're just gonna play along and pretend like Romero's still here. Okay, so the 4 prompts that you guys have. I know that Meg has her wonderful notes here. Paul, how are you doing with yours?
I did my homework for the last time around, and then I threw my homework out apparently when I was cleaning out my phone. So now I'm trying to figure out where I'm camping.
All right.
Well, you're camping at 415 and C because I put your homework in my notes.
Sweet, thanks. Oh, perfect. Appreciate that. That was the part I couldn't find.
I can't help you with the rest of your shit, but I know where you live.
That works absolutely perfectly. Excellent. Okay. Well, then let's get through the questions.
Let's go.
Here. All right.
Let's do this.
The first question was, do you remember? Because I'm looking up for my notes. Okay. All right. It's okay. I found my notes.
Excellent. All right.
So, first question. An interesting camp to find and explore. Executive producer Meg. All
right. And as I emphasized previously when we recorded this segment.
The segment that we'll keep referencing that people have no idea
about. Previously in the thing they can't hear.
Yes. All of my answers to Arash's prompts are based on, yes, the thing is cool, but it's not about the thing, it's about the people, which is, to me, all the burn is about. That's the only FOMO I have, is that there are people who, this is the one or two times a year I get to hug them, and I don't get to this year. So at the intersection of 8 o'clock and B, is a camp called Filthy Bitches.
Filthy Bitches.
PHIL-TEA Bitches. They have mini golf, so, you know, play some fucking mini golf on Playa. But the real reason that you're going to go there is to find Swampy.
Yes.
Swampy is the bomb. Swampy is my muse. She is a nerd goddess. Doesn't hurt that she's gorgeous, but she is one of those people who, her hugs are all encompassing, and the conversation you have with her will stick with you for your entire life. So I highly recommend that you go to 8 o'clock and B, just stand there yelling for Swampy till a hot girl with dreads shows up.
If it's Burning not Man, Swampy, that might do
then, you know, whatever. Could be anybody. And play some fucking mini golf.
I do want to say that in the brief conversation I had with her, she referenced something about best dreads this side of the Mississippi.
She does have really good dreads.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And I'm not a huge fan of, like, the white boy dread thing. Yeah. And I'm not usually a huge fan of the white girl dread either. Not because I think it's cultural appropriation or any of the rest of that, although it may be, but because I just think that they generally look like shit. Yeah. Swampies do not.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Shout out. All right. I'm going to be looking for that because we've communicated a little bit.
She's the bomb.
And
you will adore her.
Yeah. I'd love to get Swampy on the show. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Wink, wink.
Do we have
duct tape and rope.
Yeah. Do we have any idea why the camp is called Filthy Bitches?
It's a camp within a camp, and I do not actually know why. I'm pretty sure there's tea. Involved in included with your
a guy
golf.
Named Phil and tea.
A guy named Phil, the beverage
and some
tea,
bitches.
And some bitches.
Some bitches and mini golf.
All right. That work.
It sounds
that
like
sound pretty good. Yeah.
It sounds like a perfect storm of you should go there.
Word up. All right. Paul, an interesting camp to find and explore.
Well, you're going to want to head over to 330 and E and visit some good friends of mine over at Poly Paradise. Poly Paradise is, of course, home to the infamous human carcass wash. They've been doing that one for a while, and a lot of people have misunderstandings about the carcass wash. Really, what it comes down to in the end is it's about being able to identify and communicate your own boundaries. Mm. I think Meg is focusing very much on the people she is going to miss. I'm going to try and focus on people becoming the best people they can be. And so one of my big things is communication is the only way to really make things better. Anything that helps you to communicate, it's a good thing. So head over there.
Experiences is what you're aiming at.
Experiences. But experiences with people. It really does dovetail quite a bit.
It doesn't hurt that two of my favorite people are at the camp.
I was about to get to both Touch and, of course, Scotto, who are...
And Ginny, there's
a bunch of people over there I love. But I've had some of the best conversations with those two individuals, and they will both be at Poly Paradise. Head over there, just chat with folks. Mm.
And Poly Paradise is a village, is that correct?
That is correct.
It's a massive undertaking.
So it's like multiple camps that are coming together.
It's multiple regions of people. Touch is a member of the board of directors here in San Diego for SDCAP. Scotto is the
current regional contact.
He's an RC out of the Southwest, but he's also the guy for Saguaro Man, which is the Arizona regional.
They're from all over.
And there's people in their camp from just fucking everywhere. It's not like some villages are a bunch of different little camps that all just kind of came together, and it's like San Diego used to have Shangri-La or something like that. Shangri-La is a camp with Shangri-La Village or something. That's before my time. And it was a bunch of different camps, but they were all from San Diego, so they camped together in a San Diego village.
Right.
And they each had their individual camp.
The Poly Paradise is a
regional village of people who are part of poly-friendly, consent-oriented, communication-driven, and they cook a mean, like, turkey in a trash can dinner thing.
And pizza.
Pizza in a trash can, too.
So you can go, you can get clean in body and mind, and then you can fill your gut up.
Yeah. And I want to say, the last segment that we'll keep referencing that people don't know about, that you had mentioned those conversations that you really liked the most. You had the best conversations over there.
I had some amazing conversations over there last year.
To clarify, they're not actually a feeder camp.
I'm messing with you. Go get the carcass wash happening, and there's a lot of events over there. They've got a full list of events of talks and discussions and just kind of communications oriented stuff. But yeah, just hang out and find people to talk to over there. There's really interesting discussions to be had. Not every good discussion I had was with people I already knew when I got there.
But hug the crap out of Scotto for me.
Yeah,
super. I'm gonna do that.
I just learned a new term, by the way. I've never heard the phrase feeder camp before.
Basically, camps are bars.
Camps that feed.
Or they are feeder camps.
Yeah.
Or they are an art camp of some nature, or they offer some sort of interactive experience. For Poly Paradise, the interactive experience is the human carcass wash.
Right.
Like for Dr. Bronner's, which we don't call them that, they're FOMO, whatever they are.
They change names every year.
It's the shower and the experience of showering with those people.
And the human carcass wash is designed around learning what your boundaries are and how comfortable you are with how far you're willing to be touched and touch others.
Yeah, exactly. There's a training process. You don't just like jump in a line and be like, please don't touch my junk or whatever.
I mean,
there's a training process.
If you said that, nobody would touch your junk because they're very respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My boundary is my junk. You can dig it. All right. Let's go to number two. An art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend. Meg.
Okay. So again, this is an amazing art piece that I've been following, since they first put any information about it out on the web. But the reason I knew it existed was this person. The project is called Incendio y Illuminado. It is an interactive fire garden that is in Open Playa between 3 and 4 between the Man and the Esplanade.
Kudos on that pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. I asked how it was pronounced, because my Italian is exactly, I can say pizza.
Yeah. I can say spaghetti.
Manicotti.
Manicotti. I asked how it was pronounced. The reason I know that Incendio exists is a guy named Mowgli. Mowgli is the fucking bomb. Mm. He's part of the Regionals Network. He is an artist and a open heart and a smile and a laugh. I've never seen him in a bad mood. I'm sure he has them. He's human like everybody else. But I've never seen it. I've never, like, even when the project he and I were working on last year, when we were hitting walls and doing, not getting where we wanted to, I never saw him get down or frustrated about it. He is inspirational to talk to. And has his finger on the pulse of a lot of stuff that's going on. So if you find him and you meet him and you talk to him, he's going to know like 15 other things that you should go and check out.
So Mowgli, like the Jungle Book.
Mowgli, like the Jungle Book, okay. Except he's a little white guy. He will have on kind of a rainbow-colored fedora thing. I'm pretty sure it's glued to his head.
I will find Mowgli.
Find the Mowgli.
It will be so hard for me to find Mowgli, right?
I don't know. I'm sure Khan tried for a while. See, I shouldn't have prefaced it with the clarification that it's like the Jungle Book, because then when I made the reference, it would have been funny. I know. I'm not a comedian.
Quick to editing.
No.
Fix it in post.
God damn it.
No more editing, motherfuckers.
When this fucking recording gets finished, it is going up right away.
No regrets, Paul. No regrets.
All right. Paul, an art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend?
All right. So this is going to start out as a cop-out. Go see the temple. No, it's freaking amazing. It's Dave Best again, but he swears for real this time. Pinky sweared cherries on top that this is the last temple he is building for Burning Man.
It'll be the best of David Best.
It'll be the best of the best. And in fact,
knocked that one out of the park.
My eyes hurt from rolling.
So, for those of you on the techier side of things, Best is famous not only for bringing us the temple concept in the first place at Burning Man, but for really kind of setting the bar for using what were at the time very cutting-edge new technologies to get it built the first couple of years. CNC routers were not well-known back then. Laser cutters were hard to track down, and yet he was doing this kind of intricate work.
Yeah.
This year, for his final temple, he made his crew go back to hand tools.
Wow. Yeah.
They're building the thing manually.
He went old school.
He went old school, to which, having worked on this project this year, my response is he only did that because chisels don't have to go offline for emergency maintenance. Now, here's the thing. As long as you're already way out at the temple, keep going. Just keep going. Keep going.
All
the way out to Black Rock Observatory. Where you can meet Tom Varden. You can check out the stars. He's there. It's a really cool project. They brought it to Utopia a few times. They take it to Burning Man every year. It is a fully functional observatory on Playa.
Beautiful.
It's awesome. Go check that
especially
out.
Especially if you have kids.
Oh, especially
if you have
kids.
Children on Playa with you, take them out there. Tom Varden, Major Tom, is an amazing dude. He's fucking hysterical. I love him to death. And I've never seen him happier than when he's working with children and teaching them about space.
True fact.
He let me lick a meteorite once.
That is true. I wonder if you didn't catch some sort of a space virus from that.
I might have. You don't know.
Major Tom was on a previous episode of Burner Podcast.
And he's rad.
Yeah, I don't remember what number it was. I was hoping
was
that you were going to keep
talking.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to keep talking. I was going to look it up, but that's okay. Guys, go through the history and check out the interview with Captain Tom, Major Tom. Major Tom. He's higher up on the ranks. And that will give you all the background on the camp that that Paul
was
telling you about.
Go there.
So number three, a dance floor to shake your booty on or a bar to slam drinks at.
Here's the thing. The best dance floor you find, the best ass shaking time you're gonna have is gonna be completely unexpected. You're gonna be walking past something you're by yourself, or you're with one of your buddies or some people you just met, and you're gonna hear something and you're gonna look into some camp and there's gonna be 15, 20 people there, but the vibe is gonna be just exactly where you are right that second. And that's the best dance floor. That's the best bar. That's the best art project. That's the best anything on Playa, is the one that you find that speaks to you whether you're the only person there, whether you're one of 1,000 people there, whether you knew you were going there or you just found it by accident, those are the times when you meet the people who you think about going back to meet every single year.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. That's like, there's 50,000 fucking rad dance camps. Whatever. If you go out to Pink Mammoth, the Hot Pink Party, say yo to Jerry and Tony and them for me. Yeah. But if you don't get there, it's because you were someplace else.
Yeah.
Someplace that spoke to you while you were there. Or what Paul's going to say if he still says the same thing, because that's my favorite dance place.
Yeah, you dig that.
Yeah, no, specifically the place where Meg was instead of making it out there was Planet Earth, which is at the 9 o'clock plaza and features the best dance hits of the 1980s all week long.
It's so good.
Seriously, it's a ton of fun. And if you've been missing the extended dance remixes from Tijuana, that's the place to go.
So good.
Extended, wait, why from Tijuana?
Okay, you grew up in San Diego.
Yeah, I did grow up in San Diego.
Did you not come to TJ with the rest of us? Oh, no, you're younger
than
me.
Not in the 80s.
Hi, okay, you're younger than I am.
I was in Iran in the 80s.
You're younger than I am. Yeah. I'm old.
I mean, I'm younger too, but I know lots of things.
Is old. She's probably an executive. Add together any two members of the podcast team and come up with me. both in girth and in age.
Also in wisdom.
I know you need more of you.
Nice.
In the 80s, if you were over
18 but below age, 21?
Over an age where your parents would allow you to go out without knowing exactly who you were with and where you were and exactly when you were going to be home, what you did was you got on the trolley and you went to TJ.
Yeah.
Everybody had a bad fake ID, and we all went down. My personal favorite was Red Square. They had a 3-story fire pole that you could slide down, and 2-for-1 tequila sunrise every weeknight.
Sounds hot.
And every single song that you could possibly think of, there was some sort of extended dance mix.
Yeah.
So, you know, you take an already 5-minute long Madonna song.
And yeah, Lucky Star. Are you thinking of Lucky Star? Is it Lucky Star? Of course it's Lucky Star.
The 12-minute mix of Lucky Star was formative when I was 15-ish.
So that experience gets recreated on Playa at Planet Earth every night.
Every night?
All right.
9 o'clock Plaza.
It's baller.
That's amazing. All right. So, final question. A survival tip from your own personal experience.
Don't plan. I mean, have a whole list of things that you hope will happen. But if you have a plan, then when it doesn't happen, you are disappointed in some fashion. Also, don't make the mistake of thinking that you are not needed on Playa. The Playa and Burning Man and Black Rock City are built by volunteers, people who do this out of insanity, love, devotion, boredom.
Somehow those are all the same thing.
Yeah. Also insanity. And you may think that when you get there, it's done. And you're wrong. There are volunteer opportunities from the minute you set foot on Playa, from the minute the guy who got there a week before you set foot on Playa, there are chances to volunteer. So I would recommend that you step away from your thought of what it should be and go and help make it what it is. If you want a particularly interactive volunteer opportunity, you can go out to La Bottega, which is the piazza around the man this year. Again, my friend Mowgli is kind of heading up the piazza volunteers, which is La Bottega. It's an interactive art drama piece where you play a tour guide or provide information. Little short 3-hour shifts of being part of making it happen in a way that's different from whatever it is that you did to make it happen to get here in the first place.
Your survival tip is a psychological survival tip. You went to abstract on that.
Well, I mean, yes, also drink your water.
Yeah.
Eat your salt.
Yeah, we all know that.
Take one ply toilet paper. If it didn't come from your body, it doesn't go in the potty. All those things.
Yeah.
But
in order to enjoy the experience more, volunteer for something.
Volunteer for something. Yeah. Step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Volunteer for something.
I dig that. All right, Paul, survival tip.
Pace yourself. I know, but it's just worth reiterating. Pace yourself. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
My eye roll was not for the whatever. My eye roll was that's your advice?
Yes, well, I learned from experience, didn't I? Pace yourself.
Whatever, pants boy.
It's funny because the camp that we're camping with, Perky Parts, their motto is we can't pace ourselves.
I'm just saying.
That might be why Paul's not camping with
I'm
you.
I'm just saying, nobody wants to end up in Rampart. If you need to go to Rampart, don't hesitate. Go immediately to Rampart.
What's Rampart?
Rampart is medical.
Medical
okay. on Playa. But you don't want to have to go there.
Yeah.
Try not to have to go there, but if you do, go. Don't even hesitate.
Don't be.
Pace yourself. Pace yourself. All right, now I've got that Eminem song stuck in my head.
If you don't pace yourself, you end up in the middle of the road with executive producer Meg stealing your pants and saying, fuck you, you're ruining my burn.
Sometimes that happens.
Fuck your burn.
And then we had to, literally fling ourselves in front of an art car and get his drunk, happy ass back to our fucking
dome. Do not have your pants taken by executive producer Meg.
I took his pants.
Don't worry, she's not coming this year.
I will not be there to take your pants.
All right.
I will take your pants.
Burnup Podcast. Hello, Burner Podcast listeners. Super Sue's here, one of the newest members of Burner Podcast and host of Into the Fire, a segment which is going to focus on interviews of dynamic burners about burner projects and burner culture. So yeah, I hope you'll enjoy my podcast. All right, so we've been asked as hosts share with you some of our favorite things that are going to be on the Playa this year. So I have a list. First on the list is Catacomb of Veils by architect Dan Sullivan. The design ascends burners up the outside of the structure and then descending into the catacomb for a fully submerged effect. Expect to fall in love with the gold and crimson veils you're going to find on the inside. Next is Adventure Vending Machine. It's really simple. You go to the machine, you choose an adventure. The vending machine dolls out a participation activity for you to go and enjoy on the Playa. The vending machine might have you go invent a new hug over at Hug Deli or help turn the man on the hour. Whatever you do, it's participation. Inside the Mind of Da Vinci was designed by Phoenix Rising. Some of the features you should expect to see inside the head are artistic creations such as neon synapses, optical illusions, and interactive play. See the outside illuminated at night with a digitally mapped light show. Next is BMIR radio pop-in and share policy. Did you know that at BMIR, if you stop by and say you want to talk about an event or a piece of art, that they stop and let you speak on the radio? It's called radical inclusion, folks. And so you can get people excited to go and find your stuff by chatting it up on BMIR radio. And since all the cars in line are tuned into it, maybe that's something you should check out. Find BMIR radio on the Esplanade. All right, so we've got the Guild Around the Man this year. So on Thursday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock, you should expect to see Jimmy Descant, who will assist and build with 10 artist participants with a Jimmy Speeds Build. You'll find stuff that you need to make your assemblage. And it's fast-paced, it's fun. A replica of Leonardo da Vinci's flying machine will be at Burning Man this year. It's said that Leonardo designed it, but then he did not actually make it. So there's going to be one on the Playa this year made out of wood, cloth, and rope. You can find this 30-foot wing contraption in the guild area around the man. It's made by Rocky Mountain High Flyers Guild out of Loveland, Colorado. Listen for the four bells designed by Da Vinci and made by Roger Carr of Berkeley, California. They'll ring around the Guild and the Man area when it's time to come out and help rotate the man. The man needs people to rotate it, so come on out and participate when you're called by the bells. I leave you with a really cool camp. Camp Destiny Lounge between 3 and 3:30 and F. You'll expect an amazing camp of 3D art made with neon paint artistry and black lights. So at nighttime, it's fabulous. You walk through this vortex. So you open up the door. There's a ramp inside the middle of a spinning tube of neon art that will blow your mind. Take your campmates and a box of wine to chill out in their very swanky and comfy 3D lounge. Everybody, have a great time on the playa. Burn on.
Welcome home.
Aloha, it's me, Alfie. Who is Alfie, you may be asking? Well, among other things, I was the original online editor of this wonderful Burner podcast, and now I am reappearing out of nowhere to ask all of you for a favor. Due to some default responsibilities like grad school, bleh, and getting a precious new puppy, I will not be able to come to BRC, so I need you all to please go visit some particular places for me. First and foremost, I must be biased and mention the two biggest places that I've been adopted by, Illumination Village and the one and only Black Rock City Municipal Airport. Yes, I am polycamperous. If there's anything that these two regions have in common, it would be that they're big enough to have many different things going on at once, so you're never bored. They have so many wonderful people who have been contributing to the Bruno experience by providing so many events and art to share. So pass around the dusty hugs for me. For those of you who will be at the playa on the night of September 9th, Illumination Village will actually be having their Illville Poofer Party. This will be easy to find because it'll be on fire. Just look for the huge flames on the esplanade near the 3 o'clock plaza area, and odds are high that some of this fire will be coming from art pieces made by the legendary Flaming Lotus Girls. For those who have never heard of the Flaming Lotus Girls, they are a talented group of artists who, in the Bay Area, who have been welding pyro art pieces in Black Rock City for 15 years, I think. It's up there. The Hand of God and the Mother Serpent. I highly recommend looking them up. Illumination Village is also the home of two of my favorite art cars that are both fun to ride as well as party around. Chester Art Car and the Chairway to Heaven, which I will post pictures of on my personal blog Facebook page because I wish I could show you pictures of all of these right now. Just look up Alpy, A-L-P-Y, Peas and Pizza, and you'll see an overhead view of the airport as my profile pic. And on that note, I would like to share more about the Black Rock City Municipal Airport because I love them. I wish I had time to tell you the story about how I stumbled into getting adopted by such wonderful folks, but it is a hilarious story that just led to more and more hilarious stories. We'll leave it at that. You'll meet people who've been burning for 15 and 20 years, people who work their asses off for a whole month to bring us the option of flying into the playa safely, pilots who are awake and sober at the butt crack of dawn just to give burners free plane rides, as well as people who build art pieces around the airport itself. People make it sound like the airport is far away. It's so far away, but really it's really not any further than riding from the Man to Temple. Measure it if you want. It's worth it. If you want to ride in a plane, go sign up early in the morning. Yeah, you can ride in a plane. If you go on Thursday morning, bring a plate and silverware because there will be the traditional pancake breakfast. Rumor has it that the kitchen is needing some volunteers, actually, so I will do my best to post a contact reference for that on my Facebook page as well, same one, in case you're interested, and you can message me if you don't see anything up there soon. They also have another tradition, which is to throw a huge party on Saturday afternoon, typically around 1 p.m., so bring a cup. There's also Pandora's Lounge and Fix-It Shop, who will also be there this year, and if you've never been there, you're missing out. You haven't been there yet, I guarantee you'll have fun. I camped with them in 2011 and still bond with all of them. Love them to death. Awesome folks. There are two main parts to the camp. One area is a bar, and the other has tons of bike parts and tools for those who are having trouble with their bike. Pandora, they'll be having an event on Tuesday from 10 a.m. till noon called The Human Library, where you can become a book for someone to read or read someone who is a book of many tales or questions, challenges, excitement, or perspectives. You get the idea. It could be fiction, could be biography, who knows, whatever you want to be. It's your chance to get creative. This is the place to do it at. Last but not least, I can't leave without mentioning Temple. I hope I don't cry while saying this. If I was going to BRC this year, I would be going to Temple every single day. I wish all of us could have it every day of the year for reasons that are so overwhelming that they're barely comprehensible without first-person experience. I'm not going to talk about it now because I'm about to start crying. David Best will be leading the Temple crew again this year, and I want to give my thanks to all of those who have helped build Temple each and every burn, whether it be with him or another wonderful artist. I also feel a need to give thanks to Art Cars, who turn off their music when approaching Temple. I gotta say that. Thank you. I gotta say a huge thank you, because it really shows love and honor to those who are grieving or meditating, as well as those who are being written about. Or those who are getting married, but that's an inside joke for the Pandora folks. You guys get it. Again, I wish I could come this year, but there will be other years, and regionals for that matter. That's my mantra. I need it. Please have a wonderful time for me, and take my tips of advice. Watch Mad Max movies before you go. Remember, if you get lost, that means you are where you're actually supposed to be. Be responsible for your own trash. Don't forget your cup. Blinky the hell out of everything. Expect the unexpected. And turn responsibility into a fun concept. It's possible. Cheers to all of you. I love you. Pass around the Dusty Hugs for me. And keep up with the Burner Podcast, because it's never a waste of time to hear such wonderful voices and learn about wonderful burners like yourself. Salud.
You are dusty and beautiful.
Hey, this is Engineer Freckle, and I'm just calling with a few recommendations that I have for the Burner Podcast. First of all, I'd like to recommend the Seven Deadly Gins Gin Joint on the 9 o'clock side of the Playa. They have amazing day parties, a lot of really, really good day drinks or gin drinks. It's a 20-foot geodome covered in a big green parachute historically. They have a whole bunch of misters, really, really sweet DJs, and a Sibian-based giraffe that people could ride on during the dance floor. So that was pretty fun for everybody there. Camp that you should probably check out for some good workshops and some good learning is PET, or the Bureau of Erotic Discourse. It's a great, has a great place for a lot of different workshops on consent and positive sexual behavior. I can't recommend that highly enough. On Tuesday night, Shangri-La's is going to be having a fancy as fuck house and techno party. Starts at about 8:30 p.m. Whole lot of amazing drinks, awesome people, a lot of big lights and sounds is one that we throw every year. Really, really excited about. And I will be yours truly. We'll also be DJing around about 12:30. And then my one piece of advice that I'd like to recommend for everybody is limit your expectations. Don't expect all those lofty goals that you want to happen really, really bad. Don't expect them always to happen, so that when they most likely fall through, you don't get disappointed. And then when they do end up happening, you'll feel elated and ecstatic. That's all I have for now. I'll see you guys out on the playa.
Fuck your burn.
I'm starting to recording here. You need a pen, Tori?
I need to make notes.
Ramiro, why do you always have a pen on you?
Because Ramiro's an engineer. By the way, that's my pen.
Okay, you're not getting it back.
No. I want you to have that pen, Ramiro.
Okay.
That's going to be my official gift to you for all the work that you've done for Cabina Egg Zero. All right, we're back in the second segment, or the third. You know what? I don't know what number segment this is because we haven't edited the show yet. But let's just make sure the dog doesn't kick over the
microphone. Be cool, dog.
Microphone.
Be cool.
Shira's in the house. All right. So we're going to go around the room, and I'm going to have you say your name and what your title is so that the listeners can associate a name with the voice. So let's start with...
Tori Massey. My title is Network Contributor.
Online editor?
Online editor.
We probably should talk about our title.
I've been on,
you guys have all had your titles since like literally the day you started. Tori is not too crazy about her title though, and she was supposed to come up with a new one.
It's TBD at this point. Okay.
Tori Massey TBD.
You'll probably find it on the playa.
Right. Romero's in the house again.
Romero, art director.
Woo!
Not curator, director.
Yesterday he was like, art curator?
This is Knopf. I'm the music editor and website guy.
No, that's not even on there.
I'm done with that now, right?
Yeah, you got fired from that.
It's over?
Yeah, we had a meeting with HR.
Yeah.
this wasn't happening.
I didn't get the memo.
No, your title is a network music editor and co-producer of Alkaline.
Right.
Executive producer of Alkaline. No,
I'm the executive producer.
What's the difference between the executive producer?
One does less.
Yes.
One does less but has a nicer title.
I came up with the idea for Alkaline, well, without the name. Like, episode 3.
We're not
of
trying
show.
To take your title away.
Yeah. It basically means that I stopped doing regular things.
Got it. I'm Amber Rose. I am co-producer of Alkaline and contributing producer to Burner Podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're the only one that got your title right.
Yay!
Jesus Christ. This is a disaster.
I know what my producer. Job is.
All right. So, of course, we've already done the introductions on what today's show is for the listeners. We don't have to do that all over again.
Who are you?
Me?
Yeah.
And what do you do?
The show?
Just in case.
They've been listening to my nasally voice for the past hour. At this point, there's no confusion about what I'm doing over here. All right. I would hope. okay, so we're just going to go ahead and get started. Okay. Tori, do you want to be first, or should we start with Amber Rose?
Go ahead, Amber Rose.
We're going to start, and we're going to go counterclockwise.
Tori's still doing research.
Yeah.
as we speak.
Tori's got
but
a PowerPoint.
Her spreadsheets are prime.
Yeah. She's got a PowerPoint presentation, a spreadsheet. I love it. Yeah. Okay, so Amber Rose, we're going to start with the first question and go around and go, then come back into the second one. So, an interesting camp to find and explore.
One of my favorite camps on the playa is Trifucta, because they have the huge adult playground. And I'm really hoping that they bring the big tire swing back. I don't know. I feel like last year they didn't really have it because they were on the Esplanade, but it was one of the funnest things I played on 2 years ago. So.
Wait, why did the tire swing get taken away?
I don't know. I feel like it was, when I rode on it, there were two of us sitting in the tire swing and it went like crazy. I don't know what you call
too
that.
Too far,
like,
the pendulum's too far.
But like
far.
The pendulum swing was amazing right in the middle of the playground. So it was like, you know, monkey bars on one side, hangy things on the other side. So it was kind of...
So they have a giant, I don't know if I'm describing this right, it's like a pillow pile,
yeah,
on a net, which is how many feet up?
It's 15. At least 2 stories.
It's like 15 feet up.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So you got to climb up into this like mountain of pillows on a net that's 15 feet up.
Yeah.
I have not done that because that's fucking terrifying.
They have it at Desert Hearts and it's usually only like 2 or 3. It's like very small and it's very fun, but
higher
15 feet would be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh no,
yeah.
You should definitely do that.
I have no desire.
And
to
watch
do that.
The people on the tire swing swinging below you because Trifucta. You guys should have your tire swing this year. Amazing.
Dominic, who he built these pyramids called the Treasures, and 2 years ago they lived with Trifucta. Even though they're like, I think they're after that they've been with Triptych. And somebody took a shit in one of the pyramids.
No. So. You know, I'm getting really disheartened listening to all the stories about the shit taking and art projects and cool things on the fly. Like, can you just not shit in our cool shit?
That's good advice. Listeners, please don't shit in anybody's art on Playa.
It's not art until I get shit in.
All right, no.
No. Wrong.
That's terrible.
A cool camp to explore.
First one that comes to mind is Miso Horny. That's a great camp to stop by for a little recharge. Me and Arash were there last year, I think like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And we ended up having the most amazing conversation with two teachers who worked with children that were impacted by the Bosnia-Herzegovina tragedy in the 90s.
They both lived in Bosnia, I think.
Yeah, they both lived in Bosnia, and they had come out here for the burn as their summer vacation. Where else are you going to get that conversation besides?
But the Miso Horny, they're known for
The miso soup.
Yes.
They also serve sake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they have miso soup at like 3 in the morning.
I think we did. We got sake.
So good.
Yeah, we did.
Once they re-upped or something. It
does take them a bit of a minute because everybody's there trying to get warm. Yeah. But
no, I consumed a lot more sake than miso soup because Nav really likes.
I like soup.
Soup and pho and like things like that.
So we're like waiting for noodles. Well, it's like.
They have noodles?
No, it wasn't noodles. It was just normal miso soup.
Oh, okay.
Miso soup is just.
It wasn't
basically a drink.
No. He also likes pho, which is also something I don't care for.
let's see. Miso horny. Then there is. For anyone that has a beard going out, there's this camp called Bear House. And it is exactly what you think it is. I don't know where they're from, but it's the nicest bunch of gay dudes you would ever meet. Like their thing is for a couple hours during the day, you go over there and they have these essential oils and they will clean your beard from all the playa dust that gets into it.
Oh my God.
And like literally to clean it up, spritz it with water. And give, like, they have, like, last time they had, like, 3 different essential oils that you could pick, and they help keep your beard fresh and whatnot.
That's
so
awesome.
That's a really fun one to find. They were right behind us last year. That's how I ran into them.
Yeah.
On the way to the bathroom, I was like, it's a bunch of dudes randomly cleaning up people's beards. What's going on here? And I walk in there.
They're behind us, like, the Wanderlust Arcade.
Yeah, Wanderlust Arcade. They're on the next street, like, when you went to go to the bathroom.
They weren't in the neighborhood. They were...
No. They were far away from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Well, where were you guys, Camp? The Wanderlust Arcade?
6 and B. 6:30 and B, I want to say.
Yeah.
Around that area?
6:45 or something.
Something like that.
What is it called? The Bear Den?
No, Bear House.
Bear
House.
H-A-U-S. Bear House.
Bear House.
Oh, man, did they play techno?
And there was, they weren't playing any music, but they do have this, like, bear logo, like a German bear.
I do remember that. I didn't know that's what they did.
Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what they were doing there.
That's cool.
And then every like, playground. Yeah. Obviously, you have to come to playground this year. They're working with a company that does like professional events globally, so they wanted to bring them out to the burn. So they're working with them to bring their art out to the playa, and then of course like the superstar DJs that you only have to go to a massive club and.
Like playground's been talked about a lot on this episode.
Before the thing that we haven't heard and we were supposed to know.
No. It's you're correct. For clarification, Playground is building a village with Perky Parts. Perky Parts is who
right, which
most
we did a full
episode
on last week. Yeah.
Most of us are camping with them. 2 and D.
Yeah.
So Nav had 3 camps.
Yeah.
The rest
cool.
of you will not measure up. Romero, do you have a camp to explore?
Nope.
We're at them. Okay. Tori, camp to explore.
My camp to explore this year is going to be Disco Chateau.
Chateau. It's not Chateau.
Chateau. Disco
it's
Chateau.
It's not Chateau.
Are you sure? It's
probably
out of,
Chateau.
How's it spelled?
Chateau. It's spelled G.
Disco Chateau.
So,
this is how my dad pronounces
it. The reason that I want to go to this camp particularly
everybody shut up. Tori's talking now.
It's based out of San Francisco, and the way that I heard about it is that 2 good girlfriends and myself went to BPM earlier this year, and we kept running into these German guys, and they both live up in San Francisco.
Oh, the same German guys.
The same German guys.
I feel like there wouldn't be a shortage of German guys at BPM.
Yeah, so we're in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. They both live in San Francisco, and I've seen one of them, Leo, at a couple of Desert Hearts events, and I think maybe a couple other things. So he's going to be there. But they have, I think their specialty is really just this huge floor that you can fit hundreds of people with stuffed like teddy bears everywhere. And everyone, it's basically just like a pillow palace, but with stuffed teddy bears.
Awesome.
So that'll be my my goal this year.
Disco Chateau. All right, I can dig it. All right, so next one, Amber Rose, first again. An art piece to find, a workshop to take, or an event to attend?
So, I mean, I feel like our art piece, can you call it an art piece? It's more of an installation.
Cabino Xero?
Cabino Xero, yeah. Like, everybody, please come see it. It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
I know. I think, Romero, are you going to talk about Kavina?
We talked about it a little bit.
A little bit in the last segment. A little bit. Okay, well, so that, obviously. But I was also hoping that there'd be one of those the giant women's sculptures by Marco Cochrane. Cochrane? Yeah. Those things, every time I see them, I end up spending a million hours on the playa just with them because they're super amazing. I mean, they did a Bliss and the Dancing Lady, and I think last year was the Beating
Embrace.
Heart.
Yeah, Embrace.
Not Embrace, but the woman. Oh my gosh, it was just fucking amazing. And they're always extremely just like soul touching. So I'm hoping another one comes out. I haven't heard any news or anything, but to be honest with you, I kind of feel like the art is one of those things that I really like to explore once I get there. I don't do a lot of research about it before I leave for the playa because I feel like it's part of the magic of actually being there is not knowing what you see and then getting there and being like, holy fuck, what is that? And then going inside of it, climbing outside of it, reading what's written on it, like that to me is the exciting part. So I don't necessarily like look forward to a lot of art. I just go there and experience it.
All right.
Well, I do look forward to the art.
No.
I know. I'm just making it bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was awful.
That was really bad.
That was awful.
As I said it, I was like, I wish I didn't.
Yeah. Because I was gonna make fun of her that she's on her high horse about, I want to go explore the art on my own. What about the workshop or the event? Those are the two other options on that question.
Okay, so I'll be honest. I actually do break away for hours at a time just to flip through the book and go see workshops. I'm not all party music, bike rides all the time. I do actually look through the book and look to see. I do at least one workshop a day, but that too is not something I look up until I actually get on the playa, have my book, and can flip through it while I'm there. Because after you're done packing, planning, creating, building, doing all the shit you have to do before you have to leave, nobody has time to plan that shit. It's when you get there where you're literally drinking your coffee, sitting in the morning, trying to escape the dust, where you're like, let me look through my book and see what the fuck is going on today.
Yeah, I'm going to go with fairly certain. I'm 98% certain that nobody's going to listen to this episode and make plans on places to go.
Absolutely not.
But what they'll do is they'll might be stumbling through the playa and then they'll run across something and they'll have background information on it based on having listened to this episode that they might not have had. Like, oh shit, that's that artist that Amber Rose was talking about. Oh, look, we stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
We're good. Now,
dude, I'm kind of in the same boat as Amber, where I don't know what's
going to
be out there.
You didn't do your homework, what you guys are
saying. Well,
There is no homework to do. You go home and you have 7 days to look at cool shit. I don't need to plan that.
Yeah, it's like going to a museum and knowing what you're going to see ahead of time. Right. A lot of times when I go to museums, I like to not know what art they're hosting besides the banners. They say, this is what's going to be here. That's some of the best part about being at a museum, so.
That's good.
And Burning Man is nothing but a live museum, so.
See me, you're not talking shit about me. You're right here with me.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Okay, Nav also did not do his homework on finding a workshop.
Watch what Romero's going to say.
Romero, say something. Chronocydra.
Damn it.
Oh, damn it.
Did you just Google that?
No.
Tell us about that.
Kurt, he helps around the community.
Benedetto has been a guest on the show in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, I think they're both helping out with that project. And it's a giant hourglass that's going to be out in Deep Playa, and it runs backwards from when the event starts.
That's rad.
That's
very cool.
Yeah.
So then, is it designed so that it ends by the time the event is over?
Who fucking knows? Maybe. All right.
Romero still did better. Tori, an art piece, a workshop, or an event?
I don't know if I would call this up. Any of those things, but I was trying to find the Hug Deli, which is really one of my favorite places to go, sometimes several times at the Burn every year, the last 2 years, but it's just the greatest thing. It's a deli, and there's a full menu, and you can literally choose anything you want on the menu for free, because we know that Burning Man is, monetary free, and you can choose whatever type of hug that you would like, and the staff is just so pleasant.
Yeah.
And you can choose, the long, awkward hug.
That's my favorite. They're so good at
of
hugging.
Of course, that's your favorite.
A little bit longer. Just a little bit longer than you're ready. Yeah.
but I was trying to find that this year. And
well, you, like... there is a form of payment. Like, they'll ask you, like, for example, the awkwardly long hug, the payment for that might be 2 compliments.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There
you
is a payment.
It's a different
you
kind
do
of
have
payment.
To pay.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. You're not hanging cash.
That's right. That's right. I was trying to find that this year. It looks... I'm not sure if the Hug Deli is still going to be there, but there is something now called the Slap Shack, which also claims to be a deli. As a full
are
menu.
Are you the same?
I know. It's a full menu of a variety of slaps that you can choose from.
Oh my God, that's so
I'm not 100% sure what the payment is going to be for this, but I am willing to get in line and find out.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love it. Okay. Everose, a dance floor to shake your booty on or a bar to slam drinks at?
Well, obviously the best dance floor on the Playa is the Pile Palace.
Obviously.
Yeah. And also the bar at the Pile Palace has its own signature drinks. I don't know if you've heard
of the really cold beer there.
Pork
right?
chata. Oh, freezing cold
beer.
And pork chata. Oh my gosh, there's just, we actually have a whole crew of people that are assigned to the bar making the menu, and they do it right.
They do.
Every time.
I gotta tell you, I was not expecting that from Pile Palace, because I expected Pile Palace, like, well, we fucking brought you Desert Hearts, get over it. Desert Hearts, what? Like, that's, I just thought that was like, that was it. Like, once you bring that, I didn't think that they would also have an amazing bar, and they did have an amazing bar.
Yeah, the guys work so hard all year, like Matt and Miles, like they put it in, and on the Playa, they are dedicated to making sure that bar is fucking rocking. Yeah. So there's that, but then also like the Pile Palace lineup, parties are going to be on Tuesday, Thursdays, and of course we'll do Burn Night, I'm sure, but we have some of the most amazing DJs, and last year the dance floor was so rocking, I loved it, but also I... unfortunately had to sit in line for Exodus, and I met people I didn't even know. Oh, and I was talking to them about their burn and their experience, and I was like, oh, where's the best dance burn? And they were like, Pile Palace, have you heard of it? And I was like, oh, have I heard of it? Yes. And fucking awesome. So
that's awesome.
Pile Palace will be at 9:45 MB this year, and we have some amazing amazing DJs, awesome music, rocking.
Clear across the Playa.
What up?
Dig it.
Yeah.
Now, nah, dance floor or bar?
Mime Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Mime Warrior by far.
Moving dance floor.
Yeah, moving dance floor. If you don't know what it looks like, imagine a massive 15-foot tall Mime Warrior head with these LED feathers going out about 30 feet.
It almost looks like the front of a locomotive, huh?
A little
like,
bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's designed by Alex Gray. I don't know if you guys
know
that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Totally Alex Gray. When you see it again, you'll be like, oh, duh.
That's Alex incredible.
So there's a special time when Mime Warrior goes to this art installation, which I don't know is going to be there this year, but it was there last year, where it's just these pods, these LED pods in the ground, and there's about 50 of them in this grid, and they pretty much have this dance party in front of this like mobile, like, well, no, it's not a mobile dance floor, but that is their dance floor in the moment, and you dance on it and they react light wise and that's an amazing experience. Anything Deep Playa music wise will be something worth seeing. Then I recommend getting onto Rockstar Librarian and just going through, because there's just too much to, like, I was just thinking as you were saying, we're going to throw a party Burn Night. And I'm like, oh, where am I going to go to Burn Night? And then 10 different parties came up in my head.
So, the Rockstar Librarian is a great resource tool. I don't know if it gets talked about a lot.
Rockstar Librarian is a blog, right?
No, it's it's a website run by this librarian. Everyone inputs their camps, what time the events are.
And who's playing when?
Yeah, who's playing when?
What parties are gonna have?
Yeah, this, who's playing set times, and she puts together pretty much just like how you get the official guide. It's that, but for the parties that are going on. Nice. So
I just checked the Rockstar Librarian today. I think that they're still running their Kickstarter. Not that we don't need more funds for Queen Night Zero, but
we'll definitely
Rockstar Librarian, they're still active right now.
Yeah.
Actually, we are just finalizing our entry to Rockstar Librarian today.
Oh, nice.
With Playground and Perky Parts. That's what I was talking to them about earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Rad.
So, yeah, look out for the set times on there. Or by set times at Burning Man, it's really big quotation marks around there. It's when people get to the decks, really. I remember last year, the Perky Parts party, like, the DJs were so gone, they showed up 4 hours after their set was supposed to be. They still played.
Yeah.
But
oh, you know who doesn't have that problem?
Pile Palace.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, not on hippie time.
Yeah. Romero, dance floor, but nothing. Okay, all right. Tori, you can't.
Are you just here to look pretty?
Huh?
Are you just here to look pretty?
No.
Well, you're failing at that.
Yeah. Are you straightening out your glasses?
No, they're crooked. I like fucking slept in them. Oh, they're just fucked now.
Yeah. All right, Tori, dance floor or bar?
One of my favorite things about Burning Man, just in general, is that, you know, I'm riding my bicycle, and I feel like just every other tent or camp or community area is trying to, like, you know, hand me shots while I'm on my bicycle.
I hate that.
It's a love-hate, really, right? So I don't have a specific bar, but this year I am really excited to officially see Knobs spinning on the playa.
Yeah!
As many times as I have seen him spin, he's going to be at the Perky Parts Playground Village.
Thursday night,
7 p.m.?
5 to 7.
Wait, that is scheduled.
Oh, that's what we worked on today. We put together a schedule.
Nice.
Trav's like, we have to get everything scheduled now because when we get there, we're going to party too hard and
there will be no schedule.
Shit will be.
Trav is right.
Shit will be.
We can't pace ourselves.
Can't pace ourselves. Exactly.
I'd highly recommend White Ocean down in Deep Playa. It's one of, like, the larger stages.
It's not in Deep Playa.
Oh, it's not in Deep Playa.
They don't move. They're planted. I believe they're moved this year, right?
They're gonna be next to us.
They're gonna be on
the
they're 2 very close to us.
They're gonna so they're making 2 o'clock bigger this year. Last year it was like question mark playground.
I think they moved some of them around. It's like kind of like this. I could be completely wrong about this,
right,
but it kind of looked like, when I was looking at the map, like what local governments do when they find that one neighborhood is becoming too concentrated with a specific population,
right,
so they start like moving people around a little bit more.
I think
that was the case because you know, on the 10 o'clock side, we're pile of palaces. We had White Ocean. We have the Casbah. We have Robot Heart.
Yeah.
Everything. And
it's a bit oversaturation.
Oversaturation, but I think also too, like, the 2 o'clock side had music, but I think that it was also very, like, genre specific.
Yeah, I remember
music,
it was funkier.
They're trying to mix it up just a little bit.
Like Beats Antiques is playing out there.
Right.
And Cox is that was really the only playground was the only side really playing techno 4x4 stuff. Is all
right.
The other stuff, like Diplo and Skrillex, played out there.
It was like you could decide what, like, if you wanted to hear something super funky and out there, you'd go to 2 o'clock side. If you wanted to hear 4 and 4, you could.
Can we not use, like, funky? Like, funk's not really what
weird.
I found out there.
No,
she's
trying not to say bass music and dubstep.
But nowhere near funk.
So you could say that the two sides are divided, right?
But I think that they're trying to integrate them a little
bit
more,
which is good.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely good. Like,
good.
I appreciate it. And I'm super honored that Carl Cox is going to be in the neighborhood as well.
Yeah.
I like to dub him like Father Techno. Daddy Techno.
Yeah, that's the way you can describe him, like the godfather of Deep House.
Yeah.
Probably like a fair description.
Of
Techno. Okay, so a survival tip from your own personal experience.
Okay, so I think this will be my 8th year on the playa, and one thing, there's a bunch of things, but like, always take twice as many lighters as you need. You think you'll need. Always take twice as many tubes of chapstick as you think you'll need. Ladies,
like to the burn or
like,
out every night?
Like to the burn in general, like twice as many as you need, because you'll lose all of them without even recognizing it. Lighters and chapstick, there's no different. If you have hair that goes in a ponytail holders, the same for sure.
Yeah.
Ladies, Kleenex makes these awesome little packs that you open up like butterfly wings, and those are the best for everything. I'm talking your nose, your vagina, your ass, your armpits, whatever. Just do it. It's perfect. And also my biggest thing is, like, don't walk around barefoot on the playa. Like, it fucks up your feet. I know sometimes, like, a walk-through camp is very brisk, but if you're thinking about going out for an entire day, I've seen playa foot. It's fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Put on some fucking shoes. Don't make me mother you at the porta potty.
Put on your fucking shoes, you fucking hippies.
Put on your fucking shoes.
Let's see. For me, personal experience, two things. Make sure your bike is in good
your
condition.
Bike?
Snap to, obviously.
Lock it up.
Don't
be stupid.
Don't sell
bike.
Bikes. Don't forget to not lock up your bike. That is very important. You have to be on top of that yourself.
Have your emergency bike repair kit in your Camelback.
Well, for me, it's more so like the more dangerous thing that can happen is your chain falls off or your chain breaks.
Right.
And you tumble.
Tumble, yeah.
That tumbling is the worst thing I got because I have a permanent mark from my first year of Burning Man.
What?
Oh, wow.
No way.
Nava's showing us his
scar.
3-inch, 1-inch wide scar.
That's from tumbling on your bike?
That is, yeah. I was...
Wait, was that the baby
you
bike that you had?
You have a scar from your first Burning Man?
Yeah.
You're so lucky.
Every day I put my sock on and I see that. And I'm like, Burning Man.
That's fucking awesome.
Wait, so what's your advice on that?
Make sure your bike is well looped up. Like, it's not... And it's not loose. Like, the chain isn't loose. Like, take it. There's a bunch of different bike repair shops on Playa that are free that will look at your bike, let you know if there's things that are jacked up. Take a couple hours in the first couple of days you get there to make sure your bike... If you can do that here, even better.
Do it at home, yeah.
Do it here, even better. You can take it up to your local bike shop, get it backed up. Because my bike last year, the chain was rusted when I got there. I had to get the chain swapped out, and then we realized that the gears weren't moving, so they had to turn my 21-gear bike into a 1-gear bike by fixing everything in one place.
Oh, that sounds miserable.
Yeah. My bike was a massive headache last year.
I actually did carry around a canister of WD-40 in my backpack.
So take care of your bike. It will help you. And then whenever you're stepping foot onto deep playa away from a camp, you need to make sure you have at least a solid bottle or two of water. I'm talking like at least 40 ounces of water on you. If you're not near a water source and you're going to go walk out into deep playa, whatever you do, do not forget water. Because I made that mistake my first year, ended up passing out and waking up completely dehydrated. Like, my friend barely saved me, essentially, is the way I see it. So bring water. Bring extra water.
That whole adventure is a whole episode of Burner Podcast on its own.
Yeah. Anyways.
Romero, survival tip.
Bring water.
Bring water. Good.
Anthony Romero is listening.
Romero's good. All right. Good. Tori, survival tip from your own personal experience.
Survival tip is to really know where you are camped. and identify the totems around your camp area and your neighbors, you know, totems.
The totems change as the week goes on.
It's so true. The nighttime totems, the daytime totems.
Yeah, and then like more.
Are they still stealing the signs during the week?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So annoying.
It is annoying, but then like also like other camps move in, and all of a sudden on Thursday you come back home to your camp and it looks very different.
Yeah,
the
like,
street looks
the
different
fuck?
Than like Monday.
I'd also say a tactical scarf. I really use them in my day-to-day life, but...
What is a tactical scarf exactly?
So I'm wearing one right now, actually. I wore it to work today.
Okay.
But in, you know, we're at dinner...
Scarf, people.
It's not a regular scarf. It's one of those ones that's like a... Are those like army approved?
Scarf.
It's what?
Army approved? Like
those? Oh, I don't know if it's
Is that something that I would wear if I went as a freedom fighter into the desert?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... Basically, but the great thing about it is that, I mean, I can wear it over my neck as a scarf, but, you know, if it's deep playa and it's cold or it's there's a lot of sun out, I can wrap it around and secure it around my head. And then I can also have it so it comes, you know, secured up and over my mouth, up and down. So it'll cover my neck, you know, my head, my ears, and everything to keep out either the heat or the cold and the dust. Extremely beneficial.
I bought two of those at the swap meet in San Diego at the places that sell the big like army backpacks and boots, things like that. They carry those types of scarves. They have like Mine was purple with black in it, but yours looks like it's beige with black.
Green.
Green with black. Green. Like army green, yeah. So they have all of those. Both things are action. All
right.
Good call.
Scarves, bikes, excellent. All right, guys, thank you so much. People are probably going to be listening to this like on their way to the burn.
Sorry.
So you may have saved somebody.
So totally useless.
Yeah, happy burn.
Yeah,
happy
you're right.
Burn.
Might be too late at this point. Yeah. Listen, sorry, listener, you're fucked. All right, well, there you have it. New episodes are up on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. Make sure to also check out our spin-off show, Burner Podcast Presents Alkaline, where we bring you exclusive mixes from amazing DJs active in the Burner community. Also, Into the Fire, hosted by Super Sues in the Bay Area. You can find those links to those shows, as well as a whole bunch of other content and material over at burnerpodcast.com. So, as you've heard today, the Burner Podcast movement is made possible due to the efforts of various contributing producers, as well as our regular staff, who you got to know very well on today's episode, which include our music editor, Navjeet Sarna, online editor, Tori Massey, producer Amber Rose, contributing producer Super Sue's Iris, recording engineer Freckle, art director Ramiro Martinez, special projects manager Paul McCarthy, executive producer Meg King, and you, the listener. Our intermission music is by Duckman. Check out his music over at duckmansd.bandcamp.com. The Burner Podcast theme song is America's Horse with No Name Remix, produced by Joman. Check out his music over at soundcloud.com/DJ Joman. So until next time, love and light and all that other crap. Good night.